There we go. Take your Bible this morning and turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I look forward to the August meeting when I come here. This is like the icing on the cake for me in evangelism because I get to come and be around some of my heroes and my friends. And Brother Allen's always been special to me. He was one of the first guys that ever tried to be a friend with me after I got saved, and I'll never forget that. Amen. Even when he's old and senile, I'll still remind him of it. Amen. But it is good to be here. And then Brother Chandler and Brother Stalker and us guys, we get together. It's a blessing. Amen. And we're going to have a time.
Amen.
Amen. Romans chapter number 5. Begin reading in verse number 1. There is a tightness in here. I don't know what it is, but I can feel it. Amen. I ain't a real spiritual man, but I've been doing this long enough to know. So I hope you're the hindrance. I hope you get right with God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we run the booger man out of here. Because the devil does not want us to have a meeting.
That's right.
Amen. The devil don't want us to have a meeting where God moves. And every once in a while, we don't see it all the time, but every once in a while we do.
Yeah.
We seen it last week, and man alive, folks, there was a young man about four rows back in the service at youth camp, and he wanted to get saved in the middle of the preaching, and he came crawling over the pews and over the chairs, cried, "I need to get saved!" And man, I like it like that.
Yeah.
Amen. You don't have to stand here and plead and beg people to come. No, man, they're coming on their own.
Amen.
I like that. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 5, look at verse number 1. Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Man, I'm glad of that. Out of all that's going on in the world, I have got peace with God. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. And buddy, things are falling apart. Amen. Brother Mike mentioned it, talking about the current events and news and all that. I can't watch it very long. I get aggravated. Amen. But I tell you, my hope is not in this world. My hope ain't in the Republican Party. Amen. I'm looking for a monarchy. Amen. Where the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes. Amen. And the Bible says in verse 2, said, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Amen. Some of y'all are maybe a little behind on your rejoicing.
Amen.
Amen. Usually in a church like this, you got about 25, 30 people that are the rejoicers, and the rest of y'all watch them.
Come on.
You're the observers. Amen. Every once in a while, you ought to rejoice. Amen. Because of what we got. I'm going to heaven when I die. I've been washed in the blood. I'm justified. Amen. And the Bible says in verse number 3, "Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." Uh-oh. That's against modern-day preaching. Amen. All of us sitting here, if you want to get close to God, I'll tell you what will happen. You'll have to go through some things. I don't understand why it's that way, but it is. And anybody I ever knew that wanted to have the touch of God in their life or wanted to live for God, what they got to go through is major trials. I don't know why it's like that, but that's just the way it is. And I guess because of that, we see that we have a hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And the Bible said, "Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." That's where we get in.
Amen.
You can mark your name down right there. It said, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for allowing me and my wife to be here this week. And God, I pray, Lord God, as we come and begging you for revival, that you'll bless Faith Baptist Church, bless Brother Allen, his family. I pray you'll touch Miss Linda there and help her to heal up. And Lord, I know she would want to be here, and I pray you'll bless her this morning. And God, every home, every family represented, the young folk, and Lord, the visitors that'll come, some sitting here today, God, make sure, Lord, deal with their heart. They're saved, and if they're not, Lord, to get saved. God, draw us all close to thee. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. In December 17th, 1927, America had a submarine that was called the S-4. And in 1927, we didn't have the modern submarines like we got now. Now we have nuclear submarines. Amen. They can shoot a nuke from out in the ocean and put it in the trunk of your car. I like that. Amen. But in 1927, they didn't have the modern technology that they have. And this submarine called the S-4 was trolling beneath Cape Cod Bay. And upon surfacing, that little submarine was struck a death blow by a ship, a Coast Guard ship called the Paulding. And the submarine S-4 sank, and it took, I think it said 5 minutes to sink, and it sunk on the bottom, 100 feet on the bottom of Cape Cod Bay. And immediately after the force of the hit and the water rushing in, there was 40 sailors on board, and 34 of them died almost instantly. There were 6 sailors that were on the submarine when it landed on the bottom. And they put out a distress signal and all, and they got people there as soon as they could. The water was real rough in December at Cape Cod. The waters are all storms and all that. And the means that they had to try to rescue back in those days was very, very primitive compared to what we've got now. And they finally got help, and they got divers as much as they had then, and they sent them down there to the bottom. And when they got to the ship, they was looking at what shape it was in, and they started tapping on the ship to see if there were any survivors. And those 6 sailors that were on board, they were in a compartment there where the torpedoes were, and they started tapping back. And they tapped back 3 messages, and I want to give them to you because these will preach. And they was tapping to them, and in Morse code, the first message they tapped was this: how long will you be? Amen. If you was trapped in a submarine on the bottom, you'd want to know how long you'd be too. Amen. Amen. And I'm telling you, folks, this old world is in a mess. This old world has sunk to the bottom. And the question is, Lord, how long will you be? Amen. It couldn't be much longer. I'm telling you, he's coming. Any moment he can come back. Amen. He's coming. The next message they tapped was this. They tapped in Morse code. They said, air, very bad. And buddy, we're living in a day where the air is very bad. Even in the church house, you can feel it when you come in. There's an oppression. Amen. People bring stuff in here with them. Air, very bad. Amen. Then the last message they heard, very faint with that Morse code, they heard, and them sailors were there, and they couldn't help them. They couldn't get the stuff there in time. And the last message they tapped out is this: is there any hope? And for those boys, there wasn't no hope. But I'm serving notice on you sitting here today, we have a hope. We have a hope. Amen. And amidst all of what's going on, folks, we have a hope. I looked up the word hope in the dictionary. The Webster's 1828 will make you look smart, as Brother Stocker says, when you're dumber than a barrel of hair. So the word means this: a desire of some good accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it. Amen. If you ain't saved, you ain't got no hope. Amen. You ain't looking forward to death. You ain't looking forward to the rapture taking place. You can't cope with death. But we have a hope. Also says, and always gives pleasure or joy. Said it's confidence in a future event. And buddy, this morning, I have got confidence. Amen. 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 I've got a hope. Amen. Do you? I'm going to say, number one, you can have hope that there's life after death. That's the only way that we can deal with death. The only way that we can have a loved one die and us make it is to have hope. A lot of us sitting here have had some of our loved ones go on. And those that are saved, we can live. We can go on because we have hope. Amen. Amen. And if our mamas and daddies, and they're going to go on. My dad died, I guess, about 11 years ago. And we knew Dad was sick. We had a heart surgery and all that. Then he got real bad sick. And the doctor pulled me and my brothers and my mama into a room. And the doctor, he was a young guy, and he was a Christian guy. And he said, fellas, he said, ma'am, talked to my mom, said, if I was you all, said, your daddy's got a living will, I would just take all the machines off and I'd just let him go on to heaven. And when they said that, my mom started crying. And if you've ever heard your mama cry like that, you'll never forget it. But you know what she did in the middle of that, even in the middle of crying? She said, okay. You know why you can do that? Because we have a hope. We have a hope. And that doctor took him off, and he told me and my brothers, he said, if I was you fellas, he said, I'd go in there and I'd stay with him till he makes the crossing. And me and two of my brothers went in the hospital room with him, and they put stuff in there, snacks and stuff for us. And they took everything off except the oxygen that he had. And we watched, and I did a death vigil, me and my two brothers with my dad, and I watched him taking those last breaths. And if you've ever done that, you'll never forget that. And he'd labor for every breath. And I'd go over to him and talk to him. And I'd hold him by the hand or the arm. And I'd say, it's all right, Dad. I said, you can go on. We'll take care of Mama. And he'd, boy, just almost like you're laboring to count the next breath. And there in the middle of the night, he went in there about 8:30 in the evening. About 4 o'clock in the morning, I was over there by his bed. And I had my hand on his arm. And I looked at his face. And it shocked me. From here on up, his whole countenance was different. And I told my brothers, I said, fellas, come here. And my two brothers got up. They were kind of napping, and they walked over there. I never said a word to them. And they looked, and my oldest brother looks at him, looks at Daddy, looks at me, and he goes, what is that, Brutus? I said, I'll tell you what that is. I said, there's more of him over yonder than what's here. And his whole countenance, he looked 50 years younger. Amen. And he was making the crossing over there. And at 8:30 in the morning, he made the crossing, and he took his last breath. And my oldest brother said, well, he said, there was 4 of us in here a minute ago. Now there's only 3. Amen. And you know why you could deal with death? Because there's a hope. There's a hope. I heard the news. I was, man, somewhere. I don't know where I was. I heard the news about Brother John. And amen, there's a hope. Amen. If anybody was saved, that old boy saved, he knew God. Amen. And the only way you can make it is with a hope. I was in the Philippines and heard about Brother Garner, and man, I hope they get the one that, amen, that killed him or however it went. I hope they get him. Amen. I wish they'd give us a chance with him. Amen. But it'd be nice. We'd at least think about it anyway. Amen. But the only way you can deal with that is because we have hope. Have hope. Brother Dave Gilbert, I was in the Philippines, and Brother Dave Gilbert died, and I was with him. I was with him 2 weeks before he died and out there, and he had his 40th wedding anniversary, 61 years old, and went in his office. And he was in there praying and stuff before church, and church started on Wednesday night, and somebody said, we need to go get the preacher. And they knocked on his door, no answer, and finally went in through a window, and they went in, and there was old Dave laying there. He'd gone, had a pleasant look on his face, and he'd been in there praying and studying, and God took him. You say, I don't understand that, 61 years old. I told Miss Michelle, I said, well, he may have been in there praying. Said, Lord, it'd be sure good to see you. And the Lord said, okay, son, come on up here with me. Yep. Amen. And the only way you can make it through something like that is to have hope.
That's right.
Amen. And they tapped out. Is there any hope? I'll tell you, there is hope.
Yes, sir.
And that hope comes through Jesus Christ. Yes. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And if you don't know him, I'm telling you, he's the best friend there is. He's the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad God reached down and pulled me out of the mire of this old world. Amen. Washed in the blood, going to heaven when I die. There is hope. That's why we sing about it. That's why we shout about it. There's hope. We rejoice. Amen. Hope, life among death. Bible said, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Those that have hope are different from anybody else in the world. We were at Miss Dee Dee's church one time, and I got up to preach, and I looked out, and the second row from the back, there was a lady in there in her pew with a robe on, her pajamas and a robe, and had a pole, an IV pole with her, and had an IV hooked to her. And buddy, I'm telling you, I had to salute her. Amen. Some of us get a headache and we ain't in church. Man, she's coming, so why would she do that? She has a hope. Amen. There's people sitting here that don't feel like being here, but we're here anyhow. Say, why? There's a hope. Say, why do you go to a Bible all the time? Why do you do what you do? Because we have a hope. I had a young man ask me one time, said, man, Brother Mark, how do you do this every night? How do you go on and get up and shout and holler? I said, man, it's easy. I'm saved. God rescued me. Amen. If we got in here and just shouted every night, it'd be worth it. We got enough to shout about, don't we? Ain't you got a hope? Got hope. Hope. Thank God for it. Me and Brother Danny Hall, we crisscrossed across the country and other countries too. And we went together. I don't know how many meetings. I tried to figure it up one time. We did over 300 meetings together. But Brother Danny got bad sick, and I watched his health. And he'd take a chicken bucket with him when they sang and preached. And if he got sick, he'd throw up in it and keep the bucket up there behind the pulpit. He said, what do you say to that?
Yes, sir.
Outstanding service.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Amen. I never seen him balk in the face of it. Never seen him, amen, tuck under the load that he was carried. I watched him, his sister died, and I watched him when he go through all the health problems and all the disappointments and, amen, the hard times. Said, so why did he do that? He had hope.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
I don't understand. He was talking about depression. I don't understand all that stuff. I know the farther we get away from God, the more depressed we are.
Yes,
Brother Earl Hughes said, depression. He said, I'll tell you what depression is. It's anger with no enthusiasm. That's what depression is. You just mad. You just mad because it didn't go your way. And you know what causes that? No hope. Amen. It's good preaching if I am doing it. Amen. I'll tell you what else. Is there any hope? You can have hope. You can have this if you got love. You can have that in the world of despair. You know why young people cut themselves? They think they ain't got no hope. You know why people commit suicide? They don't believe they have any hope. You know why folks quit church? You know why folks, amen, bomb their brains out with dope? They ain't got any hope. We got hope. Amen. And if you ain't got nobody else that loves you, we'll love you. As weird as you are, we'll love you. You can't beat a deal like that. This is the best place there is. This is the place where even squares can have a ball. Amen. You mean you can have fun without being high? Yeah. I never thought I could before. B.C., before Christ. Me and Dee, we wouldn't go anywhere without being buzzed. Now, man, I don't need that anymore.
Amen.
I like what Brother Spurgeon. Brother Spurgeon's a mess, man. He is my brother. Has got to know him, and he tries to talk to him some. And my brother, he's an old biker, and Spurgeon's an old biker. And he's talking to him one day, and he goes, you and Brutus, that's what my brother calls me. He says, you guys got to watch what you do, huh? People are watching you. And old Spurgeon points him on the chest, and he goes, they're watching you too, big guy. You know what he said? Spurgeon said, I didn't quit drinking Jack Daniels because I didn't like the taste of it. Boy, you don't even realize what he said right there. You know why I quit? For the glory of God. I didn't quit smoking dope because I didn't like it. No, I loved it. I quit for the glory of God. Amen. Nobody, man, I drunk almost every day of my life and stoned every day. I didn't quit all that because I didn't like it. Quit it for the glory of God. Say, why? We got hope. Amen. Man, I got saved, got around this, got my hair cut, got, amen, started hanging around with the squares. And I found out, buddy, there's hope. I heard about it, and I heard about it, and this man called Jesus Christ, and he saved my soul, and he took me out of the dunghill and put me among the best people in the world. And I've got a hope. That's what keeps us in church. That's what keeps you doing right. Got a hope. Amen. Buddy, I found much more than that. I found people that love me. Amen. Do you know you can love other people? Some of you don't, but you can. Amen. Man, stretch out a little bit. Try to love some folks. People ask me all the time. They talk about me. They call me a kid preacher. That's all right. I am. Kids understand me. My crowd just left a minute ago. They ain't never got mad at me. That crowd that got up and left out of here, these kids sitting here, I ain't never had one of them get mad at me. Adults, that's a different story. I could write you a book on that. Amen. I make myself mad preaching every once in a while. Somebody asked me, said, why do kids like you? I said, that's easy. I like them. Amen. You make over these little kids and, amen, tell them you love them every once in a while. They'll never forget it. They'll never get over it. Amen. Brother Allen's up here a little while ago. Them little girls come up here and hug him and kiss him on the cheek. Amen. I mean, you got to have something to kiss him on the cheek. Amen. So why would they do that? They know the preacher cares about them. They know he loves them. Amen. Get out of your little weird world you're in and worried about you and start loving folks. Amen. Do you know there's more? I did a study on this. I'm not a theologian, but I did a study. I mean, I've heard so much preaching about standards. Amen. I've heard them ever since I got saved. And I believe in them. I believe there's Bible standards, the way you dress and all. But really, folks, there's about four or five verses in the New Testament that deal with dress. And it's usually it's modesty, and there's, some of it's really vague. But you know how many verses are in this New Testament about loving one another? There's hundreds of them in there. Amen. So much that Jesus Christ said, if you don't love God, you don't know how to love anybody else.
Amen.
Amen. You don't love your brother, you don't even know me, he said. Amen. There's hope. There's hope. Bible said in 1 Peter 1, verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Amen. Let me illustrate that. Brother Allen will love you to almost a fault. Amen. I know my buddy. And I know how much he loves folks. Say, why would he do that? Why would God rescue a guy out of the ghetto and out of the Baltimore down there all where he's doing? Why would he? Why does he like he is? Hope.
Amen.
Hope maketh not ashamed.
Amen.
Is there any hope? Yeah. As long as we got guys like that around.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. I hope we got some folks like that out here. You want to make a difference? Amen. You know why one year we seen 36, 37 people saved during a revival meeting? You know what those people seen and the folks that brought them to church? Hope.
Amen.
Amen. That's what this world needs. I talk to kids all the time. Ever since you start talking about people that cut themselves, I get kids come to me and talk to me, I mean, on a regular basis. You wouldn't believe it. And these kids will cut themselves. They get mad. They get angry. Mom and dad split up, splintered. And there's a bunch of y'all sitting here. Amen. Mom and dad split up, amen, argue and fight and all the court dates and support and the dope and the trailer houses and the apartments and evictions and all in the middle of all that mess, these kids are the casualties. You go and pick them up on the vans and on the buses, these little kids. Man alive, do you know what we can take them? You know what we can take them to? To where there's hope.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. We had a little old girl in our church. They picked her up on the bus and they brought her to youth camp one year, and little Destiny got saved. And I probably told this here before, but it merits telling again. She came to church one Sunday after camp. She got saved and hugged everybody in the camp. If the devil would have came in there, she'd have hugged his neck. I just got saved. Everybody, I love it when it's like that. She came to church, and my daughter was back in the Sunday school and everything, and her uncle came and got her in the church and took her home. I had to take her home in emergency. My daughter followed him out and said, "Destiny, is everything okay?" And her uncle got her off to the side and said, "Destiny's mama didn't wake up this morning." And when that little gal, when they picked her up in the van, they helped her get dressed, got out of the house. She didn't know who her daddy is. And they didn't know whether her mama died of a drug overdose or suicide or somebody killed her or whatever. And man, my daughter, her heart ached and the whole church ached. And little Destiny got in the car and drove off. And that night, that same car pulled up. And my daughter was telling me this on the phone. Man, I was crying on the phone. She goes, "Oh, now wait, Dad." She goes, "Little Destiny," she came back Sunday night and said, "I went out there to the car and I heard her tell her uncle," said, "this is my church." And she said, "Don't be surprised if I don't hug everybody in there." You know what that little girl found? In the middle of all the hell that she lived in, she found hope.
Yeah, sure.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know what you found? When Jesus Christ rescued you, you found hope.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's what keeps us going.
Yeah.
You can have love amongst despair. I'll tell you what else. You can have laughter amidst disappointment.
Amen.
Amen. That's the only way you can make it, sis,
yeah,
is hope. Brother Danny, when Brother Danny, we preached his funeral and all that, we laughed, cried, shouted. Amen.
Yeah.
There is something about a child of God that takes their journey over yonder. Amen. And you can laugh. You don't laugh at anything else. Laugh at you.
Amen.
You are the funniest thing going.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And man alive, if you ain't got no laughter in your heart and in your life, you're a sad package.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hang around with us. We sit around and laugh half the time what we do.
Yeah.
You get around Brother Chandler, Brother Stalker, you say, "Oh, you guys are so spiritual." You have no idea. Amen. We laugh most of the time when we're around each other. That's the way it was with Brother John, all of our buddies. Amen. So what do you laugh at? Each other? "Man, you're stupid." Amen. But I'm going to tell you, if you got hope, you can laugh amongst disappointment.
Yes, sir.
You know, just having that joy in your heart in this world that's just dying and going nuts, that's hope.
Amen.
Is there any hope? Yes, there is. Amen. What if you was answering them?
Yeah.
You know, this world's sitting on the bottom, dying. There's family members and people that are dying. They're running out of air. We're the only ones that's got it. We're the only ones that can rescue them. Is there any hope? Sure there is. Bible said, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." And folks, I've preached in revival meetings. I've been doing this 29 years. I've watched some people. We've went in church before, 30 or 40 people, and one person get revived. I love it.
Yeah.
Amen. And you can tell. You can see it from up here. Right. You can see the folks that need it.
That's right.
You can hit a point and see people start to cry and wipe tears. And then you see other people almost sit and tremble. And they'll sit and they won't even look at you. Amen. But it's those ones that get in. There was one lady, we was in Missouri, and she had an aught with her daddy. And man, our family, they was a mess. They fought. It was bad. It's like some of you. And she was sitting there one night, and she cried, crawled to the altar, and she went back, and she got right with all them. And she told me the next night, she goes, I told them all, I don't know what they're going to do toward me. They probably hate me, but I got it all fixed between me and them.
Amen.
But as she stood up and jumped up and down one night, wow, she goes, I got revival. Amen.
Amen.
Buddy, I hope that happens to some of you.
Amen.
Amen. You ain't never stomped up and down in church. Wouldn't that be something if God met with us that way?
Yes, sir.
Say, why would he? Because there's hope.
Yes,
and that hope is through Jesus Christ. Amen. Bible said the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? You ever been around somebody with a wounded spirit?
Yeah.
Amen. And folks, we've seen them. We got friends of ours. We had a lady one time we went and visited us in the halls. And Brother Danny and me and all of us went over there, and she had lost both her hands and both her feet. And her blood went septic, and they tie things around and try to save your life, and usually you lose your hands and feet in that weird blood disorder. And she was there, and she still had the bandages on where she had lost her hands and her feet. And a little girl came in from outside, and she come in for her mommy, and she goes, Mommy, Mommy, I got a flower. She had a little dandelion for her. And me and Brother Danny was sitting there in D&DD, and she came in and gave her mama a flower, and her mama didn't have a hand to take it. And she said, just put it right here, honey. She put it in the little crease of her arm, and she held it in her arm right there with no hands. And, man, she smiled. Her little girl said, I love you. And, man, we looked at that. Good night. Here we got hands, and we got feet, and we can't hardly even shed a tear over what God's done for us. We're a mess. You reckon we need revival?
Amen.
You reckon Faith Baptist Church needs revival?
Yeah.
Amen. So how can we even do it? We have a hope.
Amen.
We got a hope. Amen. You can have laughter amongst disappointment.
That's right.
Bible says, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. And sitting here this morning, I don't know if you're one of those. I used to be. I remember hardening my heart. I didn't want anything to do with God. I wanted my way. I wanted to party on. All I was concerned about was what I wanted. But all that comes crashing to a halt one day.
Yeah.
And then when you finally reach out for help.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Is there any hope? Thank God. And June 1982, there was a lifeline put down to me and drug me off the bottom.
Amen.
Amen. And I've been living this life now, buddy, I am in the hope business.
Yes,
amen. And this morning here, if God is real at all, he can help you with your problem. But you got to humble yourself and come around an old-fashioned altar. Amen. And if you're not saved, I'd trust this Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He is the best that there is. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. This morning is a start.